Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dieter Kurtenbach is with the great San Jose Mercury News, kick-ass newspaper out in the Bay Area. And he's on the bench to talk about the Niners, Raiders, and whatever else the hell we want to talk about. How you doing there, Dieter?
I'm well. How about you?
My man, the Deets. I was reading your column, and it was about several of them. One of them was about Jalen Ramsey. Why no interest in the Bay for Ramsey? Do you believe that the Raiders don't want him either?
Well, the Raiders are a pretty tough read. Logically speaking, it wouldn't make much sense for them, but John Gruden hasn't acted all that logically when it comes to selling draft picks and signing guys. This is the same dude who got rid of Khalil Mack for no good reason and signed Antonio Brown for no good reason. So I don't know if I necessarily want to pin my educated guesses, what I'm hearing, to John Gruden's whims, but for the 49ers, it just doesn't make much sense. He's a great player. Every team would benefit by having him, I think. But for a team like the 49ers, which they're going to be up against the cap next year and the year beyond that, giving up first-round draft picks and signing this guy to the massive deal that he's looking for from the Jaguars, it just doesn't seem to be in the cards unless they dramatically reshuffle their, you know, 2-3-4 year plan. And the way that they've played, I just don't see them doing that. With the Raiders, yeah, he would fit, but it would effectively be a Khalil Mack for Jalen Ramsey trade. I don't think that Gruden's ready to admit that he's wrong just yet, but again, don't pin me to anything John Gruden does, because he doesn't exactly act with clarity on most issues.
Yeah, they got burned on the Mac deal. That was just flat out stupid. And then I think the Brown deal was another, you know, sticking their hand in the fire, because they gave up a third and a fifth, not the end of the world, but they got rolled over by that guy publicly. I thought that he humiliated Mayock and Gruden, and I'm sure they'll say they didn't, because they stood up to him and got rid of him. No, they enabled him for 2 months, and then if they got Ramsey, it'd be the same thing all over again, because he's another ass hat.
I don't know about all that. I've heard, you know, listen, I'll say this. Jalen Ramsey doesn't have any leverage to get himself out of Jacksonville. I am not of the belief that he's going anywhere, because Jacksonville doesn't need to lower its asking price at all. Jalen Ramsey was disgruntled going into the season. He showed up to training camp with a Brinks truck, trying to prove his point that he wanted a new contract. The Jaguars were having none of it. He still played. If he wanted to prove his point, if he wanted to do the player empowerment thing, he would have held out. But instead he's playing, and now he's just more disgruntled. Again, I don't know why the Jaguars would move off of what I think is a reasonable ask of 2 first-round picks, considering what we've seen over the last year plus in trades around the NFL for elite players, and he is unquestionably that. I don't know why they're going to move off of that. And maybe someone comes up and gives it to him, but I just don't think it's going to be the Raiders or the 49ers. It's probably the Chiefs or the Eagles, or maybe, you know, the Rams or somebody like that. It's a team that's actually in contention, not a middle-of-the-pack team like the Niners or who the hell knows where they're at team like the Raiders.
So, Dieter Kurtenbach with us from the San Jose Merc. You wrote a piece about how the Niners don't have an edge in Santa Clara, but that this would be an opportune time to start having one against the Steelers and Browns over the next few games. Going into this Pittsburgh game, they're facing Mason Rudolph. And I'd like to know, because I think the Niners have looked fantastic. Of the two teams that surprised me the most, it's the Bills and Niners. And I think the Bills have played with defense more impressively than anything else, and won on the road 2 games. Niners win 2 on the road, but it's their offense that impressed me. The play calling, Shanahan looking smart, all those third and, I mean, just their passing game alone has been just beautiful, and they're getting all these great performances on, you know, third and whatever. And I just think they look terrific.
Well, I'll say this. That's a little bit of recency bias, because that offense looked real rough against Tampa Bay, and I don't really put much stock in Tampa Bay. The Niners won that game because Jameis Winston was apparently hell-bent on throwing the game away to the Niners. And the Niners defense, which is improved, I don't know if it's elite or anything, but it's certainly improved. They took advantage of that opportunity. They then go to Cincinnati, and they just whooped the Bengals' ass. The 60 minutes of domination. The score line was not even indicative of how much of an ass-kicking it was, and it was 41-17. And Shanahan called a damn near perfect game. And Garoppolo, who I thought was really, really, really bad in week one, it was embarrassingly bad for someone to be paid that much and not be able to do the simple throws that are the bread and butter of a Shanahan offense. He was able to make the simple throws against the Bengals. I don't know how that looks moving forward because now they're down Joe Staley, their left tackle. They're going to be playing a guy they drafted in the sixth round, a guy who was slated to go to the practice squad before there was another injury to the swing tackle in the preseason. They're going to have him at left tackle. So that's going to create an entirely new dynamic. I think the Steelers' defense is disjointed, but they're certainly talented. And that Bengals defense that they ate up on, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were playing soft zone the entire game, and Kyle Shanahan eats that stuff alive. Now there's some tape as to what you should not do against the 49ers. I imagine most teams would heed that. So we're going to find out here, I would argue, in the next 2 weeks if these 49ers are really contenders or if they're pretenders. And I'd venture to say that everyone's feeling good. They want to go into the first category. I withhold some skepticism about them. And having that home field advantage for, I would argue, the first time since they moved to Levi's Stadium like 5 years ago, that could put them over the edge. Because if they're a pretty good road team this year, they need to hold serve at home. And if you don't have an advantage, I don't know why you would just think that they would be able to do that overall. So interested to see it. Mason Rudolph's not great. He's no Ben Roethlisberger, but I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger was anything close to himself this year. The defense has to get their act together. Mike Tomlin's probably coaching for his job there. I would expect, despite the fact that the Steelers haven't won in the Bay Area in 20 years, that you're going to get as good of a Steelers performance as you can get. The 49ers are going to have to bring their A game to get to 3-0.
I got
to
tell you, that's crazy. 20 years, they haven't won in the Bay Area. You know, the guy I like, I'm starting to appreciate his game a little bit, is the Kittle, the tight end. Tell me about his development.
Kittle is a fascinating guy. He was a fifth-round draft pick out of Iowa. He had 44 catches in his collegiate career, 4 years at Iowa. But he was a real darling of the analytics crowd in that draft. The Niners get him. It didn't do all that much his first year. There were some flashes, and last year just totally unleashed. He took his game to a new level. He kind of, you know, it's the typical best shape of his life, you know, really, really cut in the offseason sort of a thing. But it actually panned out this time. It wasn't all fluff. 1,377 last year in yards, an NFL record for a tight end. He's a yak god. I mean, you get the guy the ball in space, and he is agile like, I don't know, like one of the best wide receivers or running backs you could possibly have, but he's got the size and the strength to run dudes over. He is an outstanding blocker. This guy is the best tight end in the NFL, and if people don't know it already, they're going to find out here pretty soon. If they're not watching the Steelers 49ers game this Sunday, they're going to find out on Monday Night Football. Kittle's now getting double teamed on almost every snap, and Shanahan is totally exploiting defenses that do that. It is really fun to watch. He was arguably the lone bright spot on this team last year. He was able to put up NFL records with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard as his quarterback. I can only imagine what happens if Jimmy Garoppolo is even half of what he was against the Bengals in week two going forward. They're just going to get yards on yards on yards on yards. Kittle is the real deal. He ain't going anywhere.
I like the a couple other guys, what I'm seeing from him, Goodwin's game and Breida.
Breida's a beast, man. And Breida might be the most underrated player in the NFL. Last year, he was super injured, and he kept getting on the field, and he kept making things happen. He's really improved a lot in the as a receiver. His hands have gotten a lot better since he first came into the league. But he's just got crazy agility, outstanding vision, a perfect back for Kyle Shanahan's own scheme. They also got this Raheem Mostert guy, his backup now,
right,
who's awesome. Jeff Wilson comes in the second half against the Bengals and it's awesome. The 49ers went out and spent all this money on Jerick McKinnon. He hasn't taken a down for the 49ers yet, but they got three undrafted free agents behind them, and each one of them looks way better than I've ever seen McKinnon look. So God knows how good McKinnon would ever be if he gets on the field, or maybe that was just a waste of money. Yeah, Breed is the real deal. He is probably going to be splitting carries with Mostert, sort of a thunder and lightning situation, because Mostert is just a dude between the tackles. And who was the other guy? I got so excited about
that. No, just both of those are perfect. Good one.
Yeah, Goodwin's a guy who hasn't been on the field as much as obviously the 49ers would want him to be. He's a track star. He wants to compete in the 2020 Olympics and the hurdles. This is a dude who can take the top off of a defense. And when the 49ers got him a couple of years ago, that might not have been the in vogue thing, right? It was sort of theoretical instead of practical. And now you're looking at a team like the Chiefs, where basically they just have five guys who can run 4.240s and get over the top on anybody. And so what Goodwin does is he just creates space. With that speed, he'll just run a nine route or he'll go deep and cut over. He pulls safeties wherever he goes, not because he's some great receiver, but just because he cannot be covered by mortal men with his speed. And that just creates big pockets of space for guys like Kittle and, you know, the bevy of number two receivers that the 49ers have to just catch the ball and run all day long. If Goodwin is out there, the 49ers offense is operating at optimal levels, in my opinion, and it just hasn't happened enough. It'll be interesting to see if he can stay on the field for all 16 games this year. Those track guys, they run a little bit tight.
Dieter Kurtenbach with us. I got to ask you, I think Fred Warner's played great, and I think they've had, their defense has had like, I don't know, four or five picks in the two games. I like what I'm seeing on that side of the ball.
You should. They have a nine-guy rotation on the defensive line. Now, D Ford, the big pickup that they got from the Kansas City Chiefs, they gave up a second-round pick and gave him a big contract. The knee tendonitis that they knew he had in Kansas City is flaring up. It'll be interesting to see if he plays here in week three, but the Niners have a bye week in week four, and that really can't come soon enough. A big issue there, but Nick Bosa, the number two overall pick, has just been absolutely fantastic as advertised. Anyone who watched him in college, I've known the kid since he was in high school. You knew he was the real deal. He has all the talent of his brother and maybe a little bit more, and he's making an immediate impact. So they're getting after the quarterback a lot better than they did last year. And then Richard Sherman is fully healthy. That is a big boost because it's Richard Sherman. He's fully healthy. And then on the other side are Tella Witherspoon. It looks early on, the early returns of this season, is that he's made a big jump. This is a guy who was always going to be a project. He was a beast, I believe, at Colorado. Perfect frame for the, you know, sort of Seattle Seahawks cover three that the 49ers are ripping off. And he has just been fantastic in the first two games. He's going stride for stride with some of the best receivers in the NFL, at least early on, and dominated him. He worked Mike Evans. And then I thought he did a great job against John Ross, who we know has as much speed as anybody, and I think is leading the NFL in receiving through 2 weeks. So, and that touchdown that he got in that game against the Niners, super garbage time when Witherspoon was out. So Witherspoon has made a leap, but I have to agree with you 100%. Warner was a godsend to the 49ers last year. He is the epitome of what a linebacker in the year 2019 should be. He's more like a strong safety than anything else. He has full control over the defense, really whip smart. He had the green dot as a rookie. And then they brought in Quan Alexander from Tampa Bay. And with those two guys, we know that, you know, basically a base defense these days, that's all nickel backs and a lot of defensive backs on the field, five defensive backs on the field. So you're running two linebackers at all times. Quan Alexander is just, he is in four places at one time, man. He has such lightning quickness, and he is so deft at filling gaps in the run game. Those two, if they stick together, they're not going to get there this year because there are some really good linebackers in the NFL, but they're going to be part of the elite if they can stick together and continue to play at this level in the years to come. And I think it's completely changed just the complexion of this defense because there's not that space in the middle of the field in this pass-happy league that so many other teams have to reckon with. You have guys like Warner and Alexander. They can kill the run, but they are also outstanding, top-notch guys in the pass game. It just makes life a lot easier when you play a cover three, which is really zone-heavy stuff.
Amazing. Dieter Kurtenbach going off tonight on the bench. I love it. Let me ask you quickly here, respectfully, I got about a minute. Cal, what are they doing to deal with this game at Ole Miss that, you know, is 12 East, 9 West? I saw you wrote about it and Do you buy into this team so far, the way they've looked? That was a huge win over Washington again.
Yeah, you got to buy into Cal because I think the defense travels. I don't have any faith in that offense, but that defense is the real deal. Justin Wilcox is, if not the best defensive mind in college football, he's up in the top five. He's awesome, and they got dudes on that defense. 9 a.m. is going to be tough. They think that they can get everybody's body clocks on the right time. We'll see. I think that the bigger help is the fact that Ole Miss is not good at football. So I would take number 23, Cal, to win on the road at Ole Miss. But it might be a little tougher than most people expect.
All right. Hey, Dieter, fantastic stuff tonight, brother. I love listening to you break down the Raiders and the Niners and everything else. We'll get you back on for sure. Let's see how they go. Steelers and Niners this weekend at Levi's, and the Raiders are in Mini. That's going to be a tough game for them. And Cal on the road in Oxford at Ole Miss. Stanford kind of having their problems after they got their ass beat. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll get you back on the bench. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Raider, Dieter.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dieter Kurtenbach with the San Jose Merc with us tonight. 855-212-4-CBS.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.